We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
So this morning we continue this series, It's Complicated, and we'll start off with our reading for today, which comes from Matthew 1, 18, verses 25. It reads, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which translates to 'God with us.' Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Heavenly Father, my Lord, we just want to thank you, Father, for your word. We want to thank you for the message that you have in store for us. Heavenly Father, we just want to pray that you may prepare our hearts to receive what you want to say to us this morning, Almighty God. We pray that you may help me deliver this, Almighty God, even as you intended to reach your people. We commit everything into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Okay, so the title for this message is A Complicated Gift. Now, I can see it in your faces. As soon as I'm saying this title, some of you are thinking, finally. You know, you're looking at some people from your household because, you know, you're thinking, this is a message for you. I'm tired of those complicated gifts every Christmas. I'm tired of having to fake a smile every Christmas and pretend like I'm happy with the gift. So I know you are thinking, finally, someone's about to preach on this. Well, you are half right. This message is for them, but also this message is for you and I. And disclaimer here for my family, for my friends, anyone who's giving me Christmas gifts, whatever you hear, it's got nothing to do with me commenting on your gifts to me. It's whatever you hear, I'm just here to preach the word of God. If you hear something different, it's not me. I don't know. I'm not involved in that. Right. But today, we want to explore one of the most complicated gifts given on the first Christmas. It begins with a young lady called Mary who was visited by an angel. The angel told her she was to bring into this world a child. Not only a child, but one who will be called the Son of the Most High. A child who will be given the throne of his father, King David. A baby of royal and divine status. Now, this was confusing to Mary because how could this be? She was a virgin. Plus, she was engaged to still yet to get to married to Joseph. Now, Joseph found out about the pregnancy, and he really struggled to believe Mary's story. We learn in the Bible that he was planning to part ways with her quietly without drawing much attention. But Joseph later was visited by an angel who confirmed Mary's story to be true. Now, imagine this, right? Imagine being them. Imagine trying to tell this story, this situation to your parents, to your friends, to your family. I can picture one of Joseph's friend pulling him to the side, like, "Joe, we hear you, but come on, what really happened here? Come on, tell us the truth. It's between you and I. What really happened here, Joe? You know, I don't know about you. Joseph and Mary may have had great reputations before, but it's clear that this situation would have dented their credibility in some people's eyes. This was a complicated situation because this pregnancy, the baby, was a gift from God. But the way the gift was packaged was complicating Mary and Joseph's life. Now, Caesar Augustus called for a census. Mary and Joseph were required to travel from Nazareth in Galilee to their hometown, Bethlehem, which was in Judea, which is the city of King David. Now, Mary was in the last stages of her pregnancy, and they had to travel on a donkey. Now, all the mothers in here are very aware. The last stages of pregnancy, contractions, and all the nice things that come with it. Now, imagine being on a donkey traveling to another region. So it's safe to say it would have been probably preferable for them to not have to do this journey. Not only that, but they didn't even have the luxury to call in and reserve a room in advance at a hotel. I imagine Joseph was probably on O2 because the network is terrible. He couldn't do that, right? But this was a very busy time. Many people were coming to Bethlehem from many different areas for the census. The whole place would have been packed. It would have been buzzing, full of people. All the accommodation, all the hotels would have been full. So they went about looking for accommodation, and they ended up lastly trying to check in an inn. And even in there was no room for them. But the owner had a stable which he offered them for the night. Now Mary gave birth to her baby boy that night in the stable. Royalty born in accommodation fit only for livestock. When the baby was born, some men showed up called the Magi. They came from afar saying that they had been led by a star to this baby. They came bearing gifts, and when they saw this baby, they fell down on their knees and worshipped him. This baby was born in a stable. His arrival was announced in the lowest of places to the shepherds in the fields, and it was also announced to the highest of places, even in palaces like King Herod's palace. I don't know about you, but this whole situation almost looks and feels a little bit chaotic, right? It's something that you would almost expect from a young couple that doesn't have it together, a young couple that doesn't really do life with God, you know, from getting pregnant outside marriage, having to convince people you didn't fornicate, Joseph having to explain he's not the biological father of the child, but he is the father of the child. He's also having to explain that Mary didn't actually cheat on him. She got pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Looking disorganized, traveling in the last few weeks of pregnancy, of the baby being due, without even having a place to stay or a place prepared where the baby will be delivered. The child ends up being born in a stable, and they didn't even have a Moses basket. They had to use a trough, which is like a feeder for where you put food for livestock, which fancy name obviously is manger, but they actually didn't have a Moses basket. So this whole thing looks quite chaotic. It looks strange. It's not something you would expect from a young couple walking with God. Now, here's where it gets even more complicated. When you follow the thread, you find out all these events were actually orchestrated by God himself. In fact, he even sent an angel to deliver this complicated gift. So this was a complicated gift from heaven. could God not have packaged this in a more dignified way for Mary and Joseph, in a more conservative manner for them? What was with all the complications? Now, this, we need to understand that this gift, which was the baby, was no ordinary baby. The birth of the baby we celebrate at Christmas is very special. Isaiah prophesied, he foresaw this over 700 years before the baby was born and said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Isaiah prophesied that this will be no normal child, this will be no normal son. There will be powerful titles that come with him, like Everlasting Father, like Prince of Peace. Isaiah prophesied about the power of the Son, that he will sit on the throne of his father, King David. Church, this was no ordinary baby. Who was baby in the manger? Point number one, media team, just to. This baby was who the Old Testament had been pointing to all the way back from Genesis. The baby was the seed of the woman spoken of in Genesis 3:15. You see, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, sin entered our bloodline. Disobedience to God is as rebellion to God. The Bible says disobedience is as of the sin of witchcraft, is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, whoever was born to the bloodline of Adam, that's all of us, we carried the bloodline of rebellion. We now had a sinful nature in running through our veins. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. The Bible tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We were never going to be able to bank enough righteousness of our own in our reserves to be able to pay the penalty that was due our way, which was death. We needed a blood transfusion. We needed redemption. We needed a savior. Now, Joseph was told by the angel to make sure that this baby will be called Jesus, which is the name Yeshua in Hebrew, meaning Yahweh saves, which means Jehovah is salvation. The baby in the manger was Yahweh, our salvation in flesh. Isaiah prophesied, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. This royal baby, born in a stable, laying in the manger, was Yahweh, our Savior, bringing salvation to the law caste in the society, the shepherds, all the way to the high class, the royalties and the king's palaces. Who is the baby in the manger? He is Jehovah, our salvation. He is my salvation. Secondly, he is my God. He is God incarnate, which means he is God in flesh. It comes from the word carnal. For the Spanish speakers in the house, it's the same word as carne. It means, I know we used to say in Chile con carne, that's now going to have a different picture in your mind when you clock what that means. So he is God. He is the God-man. He is 100% human. He's 100% flesh. He's also 100% God, 100% divine. He is not half-half. He is 100% divine, 100% human. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. Now, what is the big deal with the title? What is this whole "he is Emmanuel"? What is the big thing about this title? Now, you see, this title tells us that God, through Jesus, was physically with us on earth. It tells us that if you saw Jesus, you saw God. They were one and the same. John 1:14 says, "The Word became in flesh and dwelt amongst us. And what John's referring to here is he's referring to the Word that was in the beginning. With that is, it was in existence from the beginning. When the beginning was here, the Word was. It was already in existence. The Word was with God. It means that the Word was separate from God the Father. It existed, it was with God, but the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. This reveals to us the desire that God has to dwell amongst his people. You see, God is not a God who created us just to observe us from a distance, just being aware of our existence but not having much interest in us. God is not a God who has forgotten us, a God who sees us as helpless peasants who are too lowly in status to associate with. God, in Jesus, stepped out from eternity into sempiternity, which is time, putting on flesh so that he could do life with you and I, so that he could do life with us. He wanted to be around us. He relates with us. He cares for us. He loves us. He is with us. He is Emmanuel. You see, he came to carve open a way for us leading back to heaven, to eternity with him, so that we can go with him as his people and him as our God. He says it this way, "In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be." Church, these are the words of a being that loves us. These are the words of a being that wants to be with us. These are the words of our God, who is Emmanuel. Who is the baby in the manger? He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. Now, sometime after Jesus was born, some wise men called the Magi came looking for Jesus. When they arrived at Jerusalem, they started asking around, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." When they eventually found Jesus in the manger, and when they saw him, they fell down on their knees and they worshipped him. Now, the Magi worshipped Jesus. Apologies about the pronunciation. I know some people want to say Magi or something. I'm Zimbabwean. It's the Magi. So the Magi worshipped Jesus because they understood exactly who he was. In fact, their gift symbolized this to us. The gift of gold was pointing to Jesus as royalty, as a king. The gift of frankincense was for worshiping, pointing to Jesus as divinity. The gift of myrrh was pointing to him being the anointed one, being the Christ, being the Messiah. And it also was pointing towards his death, because myrrh was something, it was an oil that was used as an embalming oil as well. So the Magi came to worship Jesus, fully well knowing who they were coming to worship. They came to worship him, carrying gifts worthy of a king, carrying gifts worthy of a divine king. Jesus is the anointed, is the divine king. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. When Jesus is called kings and Lord of lords, it means that in the end, all other rulers will be conquered or abolished, and he alone will reign supreme as king and lord over all. Colossians puts it this way, "The Son is the invisible image of God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven, things on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in him. Church, there is no power, there is no authority, there is no devil that can contend with Jesus. Jesus is supreme king. He is the king of kings. If you look for the term king of kings, it actually is a king of kings, which is emperor with an empire. So he is the highest level of monarchy there is. He is sovereign. He has supreme reign. You see, a prime minister, a president, they can be impeached. A king can be depositioned. The King of Kings, an emperor, has sovereign reign. There is no one who can impeach them. There is no one who can remove them. They rule with sovereign authority. They are the highest level of monarchy there is. There is nothing that can touch them. What I find interesting is the Magi, we're told, travel from afar from the east, which we believe is from Persia, right? So they travel from Persia all the way to Bethlehem. Question, on their way there, was there no kings and kingdoms anywhere in the locations they passed? There would have been. In fact, they even went as far as passing right by King Herod's palace. But you see, the Magi were not searching for any average king. The Magi came in and they said, "Where is the King of Jews?" What the Magi were searching for was the King of Kings. They were not searching for your average king. If they did, they would have stopped at King Herod's palace. And I'm sure there's many other palaces that they passed on their way here. But the Magi searching for the King of Kings. They knew who they were looking for. They came searching for Jesus. He is king. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Who is the baby in the manger? He is the ruler from Judah that was to come. He is the King of Kings. He is my king. The text that we just read is from Matthew 2:6. What was happening here is the scribes were before King Herod, who was asking about who the Magi had come, and he found out that they're looking for the king that they're looking to worship. So Herod is asking about this king. Who is this king? What are they talking about? So the scribes in 2:6 are speaking to him and telling him where the king will be born and what the prophecies say. So what they're doing is they're quoting from Micah 5. In Micah 5, we learn that the ruler was to come out of Bethlehem. We learn that this ruler going forth is of old and from everlasting. We learn that in Matthew 2, this ruler will shepherd God's people. Jesus is the good shepherd, as described in John 10. Now, a good shepherd is marked by several characteristics. First, a good shepherd guards his sheep. Shepherds guarded, and protected their sheep from wolves and thieves in the same way Jesus, our good shepherd, guards us from false teachers, from wolves in sheep clothing, and from the devil, a thief who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus guards his sheep. Second, a good shepherd guides his sheep. Shepherds didn't drive their sheep from behind. They led them from the front. The sheep would follow the shepherd. In the same way, Jesus by his example, Jesus came and showed us how to live for God as an example. So we are told in the Bible to follow Christ. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. He is an example. He guides us. Thirdly, a good shepherd attends to his sheep when in need or helpless. If a sheep got cut, bruised, or had a broken bone, the shepherd would attend to them until they were well. In the same way, Jesus is our great physician. He ministers to us through his Spirit, his Word, and his people when we encounter cuts, bruises, and are hurt in life. Fourth, a good shepherd feeds his sheep. Shepherds were always taking their sheep to green grass and clear water. They wanted their sheep to be healthy. In the same way, Jesus feeds his people the Word of God. He is the Word of God. He wants us to be spiritually healthy and mature. And finally, a good shepherd sacrifices for his sheep. A good shepherd loves his sheep so much that he will protect them to the point of losing his own life. Jesus says in John 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for his sheep. Jesus loves you so much that he sacrificed his life on the cross for you and I. He is the good shepherd. We ask again, who is the baby in the manger? He guards me. He guides me. He cares for me. He restores me. He feeds me. He laid his life down for me. He loves me. He is my shepherd. See, Mary and Joseph were given a complicated, they were given a gift by God. A gift that no doubt disrupted their original plans. This was a young couple that were set to get married. And then out of nowhere, they now also have to plan for life as a married couple and with a newborn baby. They were given a gift that most likely got them to be the talk of the town. A gift that tainted their credibility in some people's eyes. You could say it was an embarrassing gift. A gift that took them out of their comfort zone. A gift that they both accepted with all its complications. Now, I want us to examine ourselves today and ask ourselves a question. If this gift had been addressed to you, how would you have responded? The keyboard guy, if you could. I want to show us some stats even as we close. Media team, if you could help me. So I asked the question, if this gift had been addressed to you and I, how would you have responded? Have we got the screenshots? The one before this one? Right. So what you can see from that is it's telling us, this is from a survey that was carried out in 2022. It says that over 62% of people received unwanted gifts. It says over 33 million Brits received a gift that they did not want. 23% kept the unwanted gift. 22% re-gifted the gift. If you're a millennial, it says millennials received 71% of millennials received unwanted gifts. You may be thinking, why am I showing you these stats? I'm showing you these stats because this is how we are as a society when it comes to gifts, when it comes to receiving unwanted gifts. This is the type of people that we have become. These stats show us how people respond when given a gift that they do not want. If God were to deliver a complicated gift to you today, how would you respond? Would you accept it? Or would you be like the 62% that says, I don't want this gift? Would you be like the 22% that get rid of the gift? Even as we close this message, we want to pray that God gives us a posture. It's like Mary and Joseph when faced by a complicated gift from heaven. There's another group that I want to speak to today. Most of the time, recognizing you need Jesus is often brought by complications. Usually it will be something dressed up as a broken relationship or a death of someone that you care for, an accident, a health concern, a loss of a job, something that really hits your life hard and complicates your life. A complication in life that God often can use to open up your eyes to the need of your Savior, Jesus, in our lives. I want to ask you today, is there a complication in your life that you've been ignoring? You've tried everything, but it won't go away. And you know deep down that is something that needs to be taken before Jesus. Today we have the opportunity to respond. It's time to stop running from complicated gifts. It's time to stop running from complicated situations. It's time to take them to the Good Shepherd. And lastly, if you're here and you've never accepted Jesus in your life, you may feel the timing maybe is inconvenient. You may feel maybe you don't want to be labeled as one of those religious people. You're too young. You've got your life ahead of you. There's so much you've got planned. You're too busy to receive this gift. I want to tell you that for Mary and Joseph, there is no doubt it would have been inconvenient for them to receive this gift. They were most certainly young when they received this gift. They definitely had plans for their lives, for their future. The packaging of this gift was in a way that it was an embarrassing package in a way that it gets people talking about you as if you are doing the wrong things when you know you're not doing the wrong things. So it brought attention to them. But guess what? They both accepted this complicated gift from God and they never looked back. Now, today you have a chance of accepting a much more simpler gift from God, the gift of God's salvation. If you are here today and you've never received Jesus as Lord and Savior, I want to pray with you. If you want to stand on your feet, I'll be happy to pray with you this morning. If any of those things that I mentioned as well are something that you want to pray about, if you could stand on your feet, we will pray together as well. I believe God is speaking to someone about this, so I'll pray. Heavenly Father, my Lord, we want to thank you, Father, that Father, you being God who knows all, Almighty God, you chose to package the very first Christmas, even in what may look to us as complication, Almighty God. Father, from this story we learn that you know what you were doing. You knew what you were doing, Almighty God. You are God. You were sending us a complicated gift, but it was a gift with so many facets of beauty on it that we couldn't comprehend, Abba Father. So, Father, we know that in our situations, there may be complications. There may be things that we are questioning and wondering, why, God, why have you given me this in this manner? Father, we want to bring this to you, our shepherd. And we want to trust that, Father, you will do for us, Almighty God, even as you did for Mary and Joseph, Almighty God. That, Father, you will use this complicated gift, Almighty God, and turn it, Almighty God, into a mighty works, Almighty God, and reveal to the world what a great and mighty God you are. Father, we just want to pray for those that are here, Almighty God, going through complications. Father, we just want to pray that they are not disheartened, but that they bring them to you, Almighty God. They bring them to your throne. We want to pray for any of that are in here, Almighty God, that do not know you, Almighty God. And we want to pray that, my Father, just even as the clear star that the Magi followed, Almighty God, led them to Jesus. Father, may your light, may your star, Almighty God, be clear to them and lead them all the way to Jesus where their salvation lies, Almighty God. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your goodness. We want to thank you for Christmas, even if it is at times seen as packaged as a complicated gift. Father, we want to thank you for it. We thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you are God with us. You are our King. You are our Savior. You are our Shepherd. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.